This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Just a couple of weeks away from the MLB trade deadline, and some interesting names could be available. ESPN had just put out a piece today. I think maybe Passan had written it, and we're coming up not that far away, and some of the names that are being mentioned, like a David Bednar from Pittsburgh, could go to Detroit. Could Jaron Duran from Boston be on the move to the Padres? Josh Naylor from Arizona on the move to Seattle, or some of the guys that are mentioned here. What's interesting is there's another name that has been thrown around from the Nationals that could be available, and I don't really believe it. I don't tend to buy into it, but Ken Rosenthal, one of the most respected baseball writers that you got here in the game, had this to say the other day on, I believe, the Foul Territory podcast.
They don't really have a lot to trade. Kyle Finnegan would be their most interesting guy on an expiring contract. Mike Soroka would have some interest to teams, perhaps. As for the others, Nathaniel Lowe is on a two-year deal, expires after 26. He's not performing that well. There isn't that much that they necessarily would want to do. The one guy that I find very interesting is Mackenzie Gore, all-star left-hander, who is at the same level of service that Juan Soto was when the Nationals traded him to the Padres at the 2022 deadline. Now you might say, well, why would you trade Mackenzie Gore? Well, he's represented by Scott Boras. Scott Boras generally likes his clients to establish their values on the open market. An extension would appear unlikely, especially with the Nationals not spending the way they once did. So that would be admitting that the team needs to go backwards before going forwards again. And maybe the Nationals don't want to admit that, but their system is not in a place to support Gore and James Wood and CJ Abrams. They've got those three guys from the trade, and then might get a few others from that trade as well. But it will be interesting to me to see if they are willing to entertain Gore, because that guy, if he got out there, then we're talking a monster package in return. And let's face it, they need more players.
If they were to trade Mackenzie Gore, they would get a lot in return. There's no question about it. But if you were to trade Mackenzie Gore, see if anyone shows up to the ballpark the rest of the year. See if anyone wears Nats gear around the DMV ever again. Seriously. At some point, you have to put a reasonable product on the field. And one of the few things that is worth watching on this ball club, especially on the pitching staff, is Mackenzie Gore. He's about to represent your team in an all-star game. He's turned into the guy that we all thought he would become when you traded for him in the Juan Soto deal. He was once the top pitching prospect in all of baseball. He was once that guy. And if you watched him the last couple of years, you saw that he had immense potential. You saw that he had this kind of potential. You saw that. The pitch mix was always there. He's got elite stuff. There's no question about it. It was just about continuing to get better each and every year and grow in his arsenal, sure, in his command, sure. But I think the big thing for him was growing in his mentality on the hill as an ace. And you've seen that this season. He's taken that next step. So when you look throughout his career, he's improved every single year as a starter. So going back to 2022, when he first made his debut with the Padres, he finished with a 4.50 ERA. 2023, slightly better. First year with the Nats, 4.42 ERA. Stuff was better than that, but a 4.42 ERA. Last year, had a really good stretch to start the year. Finished well. There was a stretch in the middle that he struggled. Still, though, improved by half a run, down to a 3.90 ERA. This year, in 19 starts, 3.02 ERA. That's improvement every single season. And by the way, each year, the strikeouts have gone up. 72 in 13 starts in 2022, 151 in 136 innings and 27 starts in 23. Last year, 181 strikeouts in 166 innings and 32 games started. And this year, 138 strikeouts so far in 110 innings and 19 starts. He's getting better year after year after year. You're seeing improvement. And I don't think now's the time to move on from him. You've still got him under control for at least a couple more years. Now, I think having a discussion about maybe moving him in the offseason, even though I would absolutely hate it, I think that's more reasonable. But at the deadline, you think Mark DeBartolo is going to take over this thing on the interim basis and then just suddenly decide that now it's time to move on? I can't get on board with that. I can't. I just don't think it would make much sense. Yeah, you could get some really, really good players. There's no question about it. If you were to trade Mackenzie Gore, he would be the bell of the ball in trade deadline talks. There's no question about that. He'd be the top dude on the market. And so you could get a lot for him. But for every single Juan Soto trade, which, by the way, there's only been one ever like it, where you end up with so many good players, three all-stars in the same trade, three building blocks in the same trade, which, by the way, that's what they should be, building blocks, not trade bait, not guys that stick around for a few years and then you flip again, building blocks. James Wood should be a National for life. CJ Abrams should already have been extended. Mackenzie Gore, you should be working to extend him right now. Those guys should be sticking around. You don't have trades like the Juan Soto trade pop up very often, because for every single one of those, which again doesn't happen often, there's the Mookie Betts trade. Go find how many Mookie Betts players that the Red Sox acquired are doing anything for them. One of the dude's names was Jeter. Imagine the Red Sox trading for a dude named Jeter. And how'd that go? Jeter Downs was playing for the Nationals not that long ago, and he wasn't even playing for the Nationals. He was just on the roster. It's terrible. So for every one of those where you feel like you get guys, they don't turn into anything. Because what if you trade Mackenzie Gore and you get a top prospect and you get Carter Kieboom? How'd that work out, right? How'd that work out in terms of what Carter Kieboom was supposed to be? What if you trade top prospect, or you trade Mackenzie Gore and you get one of the top prospects in baseball and it's Victor Robles? He had some okay time here. Is it worth Mackenzie Gore for 2 years? I don't understand this idea that the team should move Mackenzie Gore. I just don't think it would make any sense. I don't think if you're a Nats fan, it would give you much to care about on this team. You'd still have James Wood. But then I question, if we're doing this bit where anytime someone has value, we should just move them, then why the heck wouldn't you entertain Wood? Why the heck wouldn't you entertain Abrams? What's the point where you stop? Because as much as he wants to say that there's nothing in the farm system and doesn't have the system to back this thing up, let's go around the diamond real quick and see where they could use real improvements. Left field is set. James Wood, cornerstone, superstar, no question. Center field, likely set. Not talking about Jacob Young, but talking about Dylan Cruz, and we can have a discussion about his value there, but Dylan Cruz is your center fielder, likely. Corner outfield spot, that could be either Lyle, that could be Robert Hassel. I would like for that to be a bat that you go sign. But okay, you got one corner outfield spot open. You got your fourth outfielder figured out in Jacob Young or Dalen Lyle or Robert Hassel. By the way, you've got three guys for two spots there if you're not going to spend money. So one of those dudes could get traded in the offseason to bring in someone to help out this ball club. At third base, Brady House. All right, you like what you've seen so far. You want to see that power start showing up, but he's a prospect. It takes time to adjust. And so we'll see if he can get to that spot. But third base, you don't feel like a pressing need right now because you're still evaluating House. Shortstop, C.J. Abrams. Obviously, we know how good he is. First base right now, Nathaniel Lowe. I think you could use an upgrade there if they're going to spend money. But if not, that's a guy that's on pace for 20-plus homers and near 100 RBIs, plays decent defense. Okay, reasonable, even though it's not the power hitter, even though it's not the big-time formidable bat in the middle of the lineup. Okay, I can understand if you want to improve there, but it's okay. Second base, I think you can use improvement. No question about it. Luis Garcia has been horrible defensively, one of the worst, if not the worst, infield defenders this season. And specifically at second base, he's been atrocious. So, okay, maybe you want to improve in second base. Catcher, I don't think I need to have a discussion here. They have to improve a catcher. There's no question about that. So you've got catcher and you've got second base, really, for me. And I'd like them to spend it right field. But I think I can make some things happen with that lineup, especially if they can fix some of the errors in terms of base running and we can figure some stuff out. Okay, better there. Starting pitching, that's an issue. By the way, if you trade Mackenzie Gore, you have no one that you can rely on in this rotation. And this team might not win much at all if you move on from Mackenzie Gore, and then you're probably trading Soroka as well. Trevor Williams is out for the rest of this season. He has a partial UCL tear. He's probably out until, at best, early next year. And also, Trevor Williams wasn't even that good when he was pitching, so it's not that big of a deal. But, okay, you need to improve in starting pitching, and you need to improve in the bullpen. By the way, bullpen is when you can actually bargain hunt. You just got to do a better job than Poche, Sims, and Lopez. That's where you can actually spend some money, but don't have to spend as much as you maybe think to build a decent bullpen. So I don't think they're close, but I also don't think they're as far as Rosenthal's making them sound. And when you look at their top prospects, you've got guys that are coming down the line, maybe not right away, but you've got guys coming down the line that can help this team out. Travis Sikora, the timeline on Pipeline says 27. He just got shut down for a little bit longer, but he's all the way up to Double-A. Susana has been injured as well. He's in Double-A. We'll see about Seaver King. I talked about Alex Clemmie, someone they acquired, a pitcher that they acquired in the Lane Thomas deal. Seaver King being the shortstop, then can play the outfield, kind of utility-ish guy that they drafted in the first round last year. Like, I'm not necessarily saying any of these guys are particularly close, but their system is not as bad. Maybe it doesn't stack up with the Dodgers. I don't know that any of these guys, with the exception of Sikora and Susana, maybe Clemmie, are big-time impact guys, like stars or dudes that you can build around. But I still don't understand the idea that you would move on from Mackenzie Gore when you know you have a superstar in place. And I get his point that he's repped by Boris. He's likely to hit free agency. The chances of them signing him are very, very low. But I just don't think that now is the time to have that consideration of trading Gore. In the offseason, I think it's another discussion, and I think it's something that we could probably mull over, even though I wouldn't love it, because at some point you do need to create a winning ball club, and I hate this idea that you're just going to create this vicious cycle of trading every good player for prospects over and over and over again and hoping at some point that your timelines match up to create a winning ball club again. But I just don't think at this deadline it would make any sense to me to move on from him. I just don't. I think, especially with everything that you've gone through this past week, with moving on from Rizzo, moving on from Davey, there's already a lot of turmoil with Nationals fans. Do you think it's a good idea to go ahead and throw a match onto the gasoline in terms of what this fan base is right now and trade Mackenzie Gore? Because that return would have to be incredible. I would need to get a couple big-time guys that I could see in the big leagues relatively soon, because your timeline is still whatever James Wood is here for. And that's still a few more years. That's still at least through 2030 in terms of control that you have for him. So now's not the time to move off of all this stuff. I just think it would be incredibly foolish for them to decide to do what Rosenthal had suggested and move off of Mackenzie Gore. And I don't think, frankly, if I were ownership too, I don't think I'm giving an interim general manager like Mike DiBartolo the option to trade him in the middle of the season when who knows if he's going to be your general manager going forward. In the offseason, if I remove the interim tag and you want to make a move, sure. But an interim GM trading the ace of the staff and a superstar in the sport and someone that's still incredibly young that I don't think there's a likely chance that you could sign him, but there's still at least a chance, I think that would be incredibly stupid. So I just don't see that happening. Talking about guys that are in some turmoil. I don't know if you saw this morning with Terry McLaurin. So he put something on his Instagram story, and I don't know what to make of it. He put out, "I wake up and go get that cake. I ain't the type to relax." Jeff, you're big in lyrics and everything. Does this mean anything? Are we getting a Terry contract soon? Is he trying to stir up? What are we getting here?
My man just saying he wake up and grind. I wouldn't look too deep into that.
And I don't. I'm not. Terry's not one that's been a diva. He's not one that's throwing crazy shade or anything. But really, that's the first thing we've heard from Terry is, "I wake up and go get that cake. I ain't the type to relax." Regardless, Terry McLaurin, the contract situation, we got a little more of an update from James Palmer yesterday. We'll play that for you next. Sounds like there's still been some contact despite the issues with the contract. Is it going to get resolved? We'll continue talking about Terry McLaurin next here on The Fan. Welcome back. B. Mitch and Finley, Toby Altizer in for JP this week alongside Brian Mitchell, reacting to the news that Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez both fired. Joining us to give his thoughts on it, the regular host of B. Mitch and Finley, JP Finley. JP, what's up, dude?
Who?
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
What's up, Jupu?
B. Mitch was saying that you're actually here this week because we went to break late.
Yeah, we broke at 11:45, though.
I don't know what happened to JP's
JP, phone. Your phone is like sounding like you got a burner.
You got me now?
Yeah, yeah, we got you.
Okay.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. Go park.
I mean,
go park somewhere good, and then we're gonna wait for you.
Car is parked. I'm parked. I don't know why you guys can't hear me.
We got you now.
All right, go now.
Is this just terrible connection? I'm just at the beach.
Every single time you go to say something, I'm assuming you're going to start waiting. It just goes quiet. There you go. He dropped off. We'll see if we can get him back on here in just a second. I know he's been a Rizzo guy, and I think if you're trying to defend either one of these guys, I think you can defend Mike Rizzo. I'm not necessarily going to do that today. I fully understand that there are issues that Mike Rizzo has had. I don't know that there's any frustration about Davey, because I think we all understood where he's at. Let's see. I think we've got JP back here. JP, I know you've been a Rizzo defender, and understandably so. He's been great throughout his tenure here. What was your thoughts on them ultimately firing yesterday, Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez?
The Davey thing is certainly not a surprise. I mean, they're playing bad baseball, They're in last place in the NL East. They're behind the Marlins. I mean, get swept by the Red Sox, including just a drubbing on July 4th. That's kind of a showcase game.
Mm-hmm.
The Davey thing I can understand. And I want the world to know they should hire Kevin Long at the end of the season, the Phillies hitting coach. The Rizzo thing to me is very different on a number of levels. One, I mean, the draft is in a week. It's like, the timing of it is incredibly bizarre. I can kind of understand it if they're maybe clearing the decks to sell this thing. I don't know that they are. I feel like Rizzo deserves better than being fired in the middle of the season at mid-July. I do hear the detractors. Like, I understand the growing chorus of their inability to draft and develop over the last, you know, 6-7 years. That is real. I also think he's been operating with one hand tied behind his back because – ownership is so bad. Like, I get the fans are frustrated. I think Mike Rizzo's great at what he does, and he'll go somewhere else and win another title. And I just think if people wanted a pound of flesh, I get it with Davey, but like you fire Rizzo and then his number two takes over a week before the draft and you think that's better? I can't wrap my brain around that.
Yeah, I agree with you on the timing, but I think you have to look at one thing too. Like I know Rizzo has done some damn good things in other accent, but the fact that for 20 years the bullpen has not been good. I woke up this morning. This is the thing that's been weighing heavy on me. I thought the way that things happened and they went quickly, they went to him to try to get him to let David go, and he wouldn't let David go. That's what I believe.
Yeah,
and I think okay, well, both of y'all gonna go then.
Right. I think whether they went to Davey a couple of weeks ago to try to fire one of his coaches and he wouldn't do it, and then this weekend they went to Mike to try to fire Davey and he wouldn't do it, none of that will surprise me. If I had to guess, the Post will have some in-depth everything that happened story in the next couple of days, and we'll get to learn exactly how this all shook out. I mean, that's generally what the Post does. It's kind of like this posthumous look at all the details, and I look forward to reading that. I don't know if you guys – I'm sure you guys discussed it. Sverluga had a quote last night from Rizzo, like, I'm paraphrasing, but the sun will come up tomorrow. I'm very proud of everything I did navigating this ownership group. And that's pretty telling to me. And, like, I know the Ken Rosenthal piece was out. I know you can just look at the minors and look at the missed draft picks. And if I ever – have to be told that Carter Keyboom is the future again. You know what I mean? Yeah. I get all that. It doesn't add up to me when, I mean, the ownership group now with the patriarch, with you know, father learner gone, I know Mark's running it, but there's probably a lot of cooks in that kitchen, cash-strapped organization. I find it, and Toby, you're way deeper on this than I am, right? But, like, I get the drafting and development hasn't been great, but I find it when we did our blame pie on this a couple weeks ago after the, 11-game losing streak, I'm still at, like, 75% ownership. And maybe 100%. Fans are just mad, and they want some result, and you can't fire the owners, unfortunately, as we learned for 25 years with Dan Snyder. Like, you're stuck with them.
The thing for me, JP, and the reason that I don't mind making this move, maybe the timing is weird, but I don't mind making the move overall, is it at least opens the option that you could make some changes. Now, I don't necessarily believe that they're going to make the changes is my issue, because if you're going to continue to spend like a small market team, I like Mike Rizzo as a big market general manager. We saw him win a World Series as a big market general manager when this team operated like one, but this team hasn't operated like one since. And so if they decide to go out and spend on R&D and go get an analytical mind at general manager and all those things, you at least open the door for that. I just don't have faith that this ownership group, now that they've moved on from Rizzo and Davey, is suddenly going to make the right decisions and bring in the right general manager and change their philosophy. So, you know, that's where, to your side, like, are you going to do better than Rizzo? Possibly not. And if that's the case, then we might look back on this and say, okay, they made a move, but it was just to make a move for making a move's sake.
Yeah, or Rizzo finally said, bleep you. And they were like, oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, I know Mike a little bit. I imagine he gets pushed to a point where he's like, you know what? Bleep this. I got better options. I got a text last night. I didn't feel like tweeting this out last night, but I got a text from a friend of mine that works in baseball. And I'm not going to say names here, but I'm going to read this text to you guys. The learners are embarrassing, man. Mike is amazing and did a great job. Got all these prospects back because these clowns wouldn't spend money. James Wood is a star that he fleeced. And then I just replied, totally. And the reply was, you know how incompetent you have to be to fire the GM the week of the draft? Imagine if this was football. imagine if this was the old days of the burgundy and gold, how ballistic people would be going.
Yep.
And the baseball draft is like 80 rounds or something, and you just fired the boss?
See, yeah. the thing that got me is, and I look at the relationship between the actual manager and the player, like coach and player.
Yeah.
You haven't named that person yet, which I think is a little screwed up.
Maybe they didn't have a plan, and these guys were finally just – I mean, dude, it wasn't that long ago that Jim Riggleman just quit because he wouldn't deal with these owners. Remember that? Jim Riggleman ended up taking shots at Cash.
Yeah,
it was all over the internet. Like, I don't know. I mentions telling me how dumb I am that Rizzo has been bad over the last decade, and there are certainly like maneuvers. Even the guys, they spent a little bit this offseason, not a lot. They spent less than what Juan Soto makes in a year, but they spent a little, and the product's been terrible. B, I mean, to your point, the bullpen's been bad forever. Mm-hmm. The Kyle Finnegan thing this offseason was incredibly bizarre. Like, there's a lot of wacky stuff going on. I think it starts at the owner's level. And I honestly think if Rizzo could get the Orioles job, it would be tremendous. Like the Orioles need somebody that will press the gas with all these young prospects, and Riz is a press the gas guy. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's going to have good options. I'm sure, if I had to guess, he's going to go down to his place in Florida and chill out for a while. But I can wrap my head around Davey. Toby, correct me if I'm wrong. Davey only has the one winning season in his tenure, right? They just happened to win the World Series.
I agree with you about the timing. I agree with you those things. But I say this. When you are at the position that Rizzo is at, you get blamed for overseeing everything. Or you get the your job is to oversee everything, and when things aren't fixed over the years, that blame goes in your lap. And I think that's part of the problem, where we were talking a little bit earlier about complacency, and I believe they got a little complacent, you know, over there. And I think that is what came back, because when you have people working for you that you see, the guy won the World Series, which makes me look good. I'm going to, you know, push forward. That kind of makes things a little off for me. Say it like that.
Well, MB, I think you see it. I mean, in the coaches I've covered in Ashburn, I mean, Shanahan, Gruden, Rivera, I think those guys came in with a mindset of like, all right, I can handle ownership. I can manage up. I can win here. And then after a series of things going wrong, sometimes whether they'll ever publicly admit it or not, they're like, man, I can't win. And maybe the same effort or the same mindset. You know what I mean? Like, that stuff seeps into your organization.
Yep,
sure. And, well, I'll tell you what, JP. Real quick, Lamphill's giving me the look he usually gives you. So we got a break.
I told you, JB was still at work.
We got a break, man. Enjoy your vacation, man.
Enjoy, brother.
See you guys.
Appreciate it, JP. All right, we're going to take a break from the Nationals. I want to talk a little bit about the Wizards. Chris Miller going to join us to talk about the Wiz next.
Baby,
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer in for JP this week. Happy Friday. I want to get into the PFF secondary rankings here in just a second, but you were saying in the break that Michael Jordan, he's had this home on the market for a long, long time. Well, that's a Chicago home, right?
Yeah, I think somebody purchased it, and now they are renting it as an Airbnb. So if anybody's going to Chicago and you want to, like, floss, you can get this house for a week. It's $120,000 to rent it for the week. You have to put a $25,000 deposit down. I don't know what the cleaning fee would be. It's sure going to be a lot.
It's going to be a lot.
But you know what? Also, on top of that, it's 17 and a half bathrooms, so you have to worry about not getting to a bathroom.
Yeah. You know? You're at any quadrant of the house, there's a bathroom half. Nearby.
Yeah, yeah.
17 and a half bathrooms.
Yeah, so... You can have a lot of fun there.
I always laugh when you see some of these
Who
giant
rents
houses
them like that. I know it ain't nobody. I know
when you see some of these giant houses, it's funny where it's like, oh yeah, 25, 30 bedrooms and 20 bathrooms. You're like, what do you need 20 bathrooms for?
They got a lot of people living there.
Apparently so.
I think, who was it? Bill Gates' house when I was out and visiting Ray Brown out in Cali, and you pass by his house, so the bottom floor is just garages. And you're passing by the house, you think you're looking at like a business or something. I'm talking about doors on top, garage doors on top of garage doors. And then all of a sudden, it's another like house right connected to it because it got like a hallway you walk. So, but all the people, all the kids and everybody live right in the same area. Probably why you need all them damn bedrooms.
So here's what's funny. So in Russell Wilson's first year with Denver, people were tracking, like if you were to Google Russell Wilson, mm-hmm. one of the first things that pops up is Russell Wilson bathrooms versus touchdowns. Because he had 12 bathrooms in his house, and people were tracking whether he was going to throw more touchdown passes in his first season in Denver than he would have bathrooms in his house. Now, he ended up with 16, so to his credit, he did pass it, but he wouldn't have passed Michael Jordan.
Nah.
I just don't know what you do with that many bathrooms. But regardless, if you want to go stay in Chicago and you want to stay where MJ stayed.
You might not want to use the same one twice in a week.
Maybe not. Maybe not. You can go hop right in the shower or wherever. Wild.
Let it go, dog.
So PFF just is going through its list season, by the way. Just getting closer and closer to training camp. Still a couple of days away from that. I believe a week from now, you'll have the Commanders rookies reporting. And then the veterans will report 4 days later. But it's kind of list season right now, just leading up until training camp. And so PFF has been grading some of the units around the National Football League. And we talked about the offensive line earlier this week. Now taking a look at the secondary.
All right.
I think when you look at the Commanders' secondary, I think the cornerback room is intriguing because so much of it is going to ride on how Marshon Lattimore plays this year.
Yeah.
And if he comes out and plays well, then you could have a pretty good secondary. If he plays poorly, then I think you can still have a decent secondary, but you're missing still that top flight guy, and maybe Sanders still has to go back outside. So you're looking at a secondary right now comprised of Mikey Sanders still, Marshon Lattimore, Trey Amos, Noah Igbinoghene. At safety, you've got Quan Martin, Will Harris, Percy Butler. I guess Jonathan Jones is the name I forgot to throw in there at corner as well. So I don't know that it's a great unit. I think it's improved from last year. Where do you think that Pro Football Focus has the Commanders ranked going into this season?
Because they looking at a lot of what was last year, and then they're looking at new additions. Marshawn did not play well last year because was injured. I'm thinking they're going to go anywhere from 12 to 20.
All right, so we'll start at the bottom of this list and see when we get to the Commanders. So at 32, they have the Las Vegas Raiders. I don't even know anybody in their secondary aside from Jeremy Chinn, so it makes sense. Mm-hmm. At 31, by the way, I find this one funny. At 31, they have the Dallas Cowboys. Remember when it wasn't that long ago when we spent all this time talking about Deron Bland and Trayvon Diggs?
Yeah.
They're ranked at 31.
They're ranked at 31 now? Wow.
30, Carolina Panthers. This one's interesting because J.C. Horn, I think, is one of the better DBs in the league.
Maybe the only one in the secondary, though.
They signed Trayvon Merrig as well, but yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of guys. The thing about secondary is just because you got one dude doesn't really mean a lot.
True.
29 is the Miami Dolphins. They just traded away Jalen Ramsey, and the guys behind them are like Kader Kohou, Artie Burns. I guess you did get Minka Fitzpatrick, so you still feel good about that, but there's not a lot there. Coming in at 28, B. Mitch, Washington Commanders. 28?
I don't think they're the 28, Bruce. I don't buy that. I think Mikey, Trey, we still got to worry about Marshawn going to play better. I think Igbinogheni. Nah, that's not a 28 ranked.
So I think if you throw in the safeties with this, there's an uncertainty at the strong safety position, I'd say. Because you feel good about Quan Martin as a free safety. I wouldn't say he's top flight, but he gives you, I would say, average to above average play there. So that's fine. Mm-hmm. The corner room, I do think, is better than it was last year. And even if Lattimore doesn't get back to a Pro Bowl level, if he can just get to a serviceable level, then you've got him. I think Amos is going to step in. Remember, we talked to Nikki Jabvala a couple of weeks ago. We were out at the facility, and she had brought up that she thinks he ends up starting week one. If that's the case, you know, I think Trey Amos is going to hit the ground running, and he's going to get better and better as the season goes on. I think he can be an effective corner, but he's kind of a wild card. You don't really know what you're going to get in a rookie season. Sandra still, if he's back in the slot, I think he's an absolute demon. I think he's good on the outside, but I think he can be an absolute game wrecker inside in the nickel. So I don't know that I agree with them being at 28. I think in that range, like you were saying, I wouldn't say that they're going to be in the top half of the league, but if they bumped them up 8 to 10 spots and they're somewhere around 18 to 20, I think that would be make a little more sense.
Yeah. I mean, you look at them last year, they weren't awful against the pass.
Well, they were awful against the runs. That played into it a little bit.
I didn't mention that. But they weren't awful against the pass.
So when you look at some of the teams that are ahead of them, Minnesota is at 27, which, by the way, is a little bit shocking to me because they had such a good defense last year. I don't know why they're at 27 because they depend a lot on their secondary because they asked them to do a lot of unique things.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're running all sorts of different coverages that you don't see anyone else really sort of run. Yep. So I don't know if I agree with that. 26 is the Cardinals. They drafted Will Johnson, the rookie out of Michigan that had some injury concerns, but they still got Buda Baker over there.
Buda.
Cincinnati's at 25. The Giants are at 24. Just a couple more. 23 is San Francisco. 22 is Tampa Bay. But I don't know that I fully agree with them being ranked all the way down there.
Nah, I don't buy it.
But do you have concerns with their secondary going into the season? So something that I think that they did this offseason, which I'd be interested to see. I don't know that they've released their defensive line rankings. I'd be curious to know where they would have Washington ranked in the defensive line rankings, because part of the reason that I think that this secondary is better is they looked at it and said, the way that we're going to improve this team is we're not going to necessarily go spend big on a pass rusher like a Trey Hendrickson and trade for him, or assign a big-time guy like a Milton Williams. But we're going to get bigger up front, which they did, and we're going to prove on the back end so that we can trust our guys in coverage a little bit more and not feel like we have to help them out as much, and that can help us in the run game.
Totally. I believe that's what it is, because when you look at their production against the run last year, you're nothing to be to write home about.
No.
If they can be better against the run, that defense is going to drastically become better. I know, like, PFF, a lot of their stuff is like, Oh, they got names too. They see names and they rank people based off of names a lot of times. And there are some guys that's going to have names or they came from certain schools and they may not produce. Your team doesn't have to be great. It just has to, if they could limit the explosives, they'll be great. That defensive secondary will be totally better. But you can't be having those games where you're giving up two and three big bombs.
Well, you just allow a team.
People have to work it down the field.
When a team has the ability, when they feel like they can just constantly run the football, it's like having an easy button on offense, right? Yeah. When you just feel like you can always rely on the fact that I'm just going to hand it off and I'm going to get 6 yards, 5 and 6 yards, then you don't have to feel as, you don't have to be as perfect offensively, because then you can, if you don't get something on first and 10, you throw it down the field, you don't get anything. All right, well, I can hand it off and get to 3rd and 5. I can get to 3rd and 4 by handing the ball off. So not being able to stop the run, it's funny how as time goes on and everyone likes to talk about how the game evolves and things change, it's still about running the football and stopping the run.
Totally. Totally. Because if you can run the ball, you stress the hell out of a defense. If you can stop a run, you stress the hell out of an offense.
Yeah.
Because what happens as you begin to get closer, at the backs of the defender gets closer to the goal line, they got to now take chances, take risk. And that's where big plays come from. So if you just throw the ball all the time, you're going to be the one having problems, because instead of going 3rd and short, you're 3rd and long, teams can really dial it up and come at you. Because everybody know about the amount of time before you have to let the ball go. And they begin to do that. But if you can run the ball and you get that thing to 3rd and short, and like Washington was last year, 4th and short, where they put Jade in a position, he can run it, he can hand it to somebody, or he can throw it, you can't make the right decision. When he would come out on the edge, you would see those defensive backs. You can see that their heads were spinning. If they step up, he dropped it right over their head. If they went back, he ran and got the first down. It stresses you out once you can run the ball. And I think they need to improve it this year, and they also need to improve against the run.
How well do you think Will Harris is going to step in and take Jeremy Chinn's role?
I think Will Harris, he hits. He likes to thump. But I believe, like, he loses size from Chinn, but maybe he's a little quicker.
Yeah.
Maybe he could cover a little better.
Yeah, because
that's all that, like, that
Chinn
matters
wasn't a
to
great
me.
Coverage guy.
Yeah, so when you lose a guy and you look at his size, Jay always go, oh, man, Chinn was huge. Okay. But I need you to be huge and also be legitimately a great cover guy, because that's where he got in trouble when it came to coverage against tight ends.
Well, that's also going to be a big thing, too. This is where the linebackers have to step up, because you do lose some of that size at safety.
Yeah.
Quan Martin's not a big guy. Will Harris isn't a big guy. Now, I don't know that you would say that Will Harris isn't a good tackler, so that maybe is a little bit of a moot point. Just because you can hit hard, either way, if you just get the guy to the ground, that's really all I care about. I don't care if you pop the guy or not.
I do care how you hit him, because I tell you this, when people came across the middle and Sean Taylor was lurking, they put their eyes on Sean more than they did the football.
They don't have a Sean Taylor on this team right now, but I think it does talk about the importance of the linebacker position as well. You got to make sure that when you have an opportunity, whether it's Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu, one of the other guys having to step in, McGee, Medrano, Dominique Hampton,
that
one of those guys.
That guy right there may end up being a secret weapon. Cade Medrano, former wide receiver, can run 4-4. If he can be fit into your defense as a linebacker, or that big nickel, what they call it, where that safety comes down. What if he can, he's fast enough. If he has the ability to run with those tight ends and all, he might be a guy to do a lot of things for you this year.
Which, by the way, is why I like this draft class, because we've talked about all of their day three picks. Jalen Lane.
Yeah.
Kane Medrano. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt.
Yeah.
And every one of those guys, maybe they're just nothing. Maybe it's just a day three pick that they have to develop. But every one of them, when you talk about them, I'm like, man, they got some potential, and they can really, really help out.
They have stuff that makes you excited about what their capabilities or possibilities could be.
800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. Do you believe in the secondary going into the season? Do you have some questions about maybe Will Harris stepping in for Jeremy Chinn? Do you believe that Marshawn Lattimore is going to bounce back? What is your confidence level in the secondary going into the season? 800-636-1067. You're listening to 106.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome back. B. Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer in for JP all week this week. Appreciate Barstool Nate for joining us. If you missed that, you can always check out the podcast or rewind on the Odyssey app. Coming up at noon, Sam Blum going to join us from The Athletic. Talk a little bit more about Davey Martinez and Mike Rizzo being let go. And Santana Moss going to join us coming up at 1 o'clock. Right now, though, I want to talk about the RFK Stadium site. So yesterday, I'm not exactly sure where the president was, but he was asked while he was still on the tarmac about the RFK Stadium site, and here's what President Trump had to say.
The D.C. City Council has not approved a new stadium for the Commanders. If they don't approve it, will you step in?
Well, we see what happens. I've been looking at the deal, and, you know, I don't blame them. They have to, it's a very important piece of property. It's a great piece of property, so... We'll see, but if I can help them out, I will. You know, ultimately, we control that. The federal government ultimately controls it, so we'll see what happens. I saw the plans. I saw the stadium. The owner's very, very successful and a very good man. I know him a little bit, and it'll be a great place for the NFL to be there.
It's interesting that we're getting to this point. Yeah. Now, you know, the deadline comes up in a week.
It's not interesting. Listen, bro. From the beginning, when they gave approval for D.C. to have control, how many times have you seen 100 senators agree upon what? They don't.
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
And then in that paper, number one, after that one dot whatever, it was stadium. This was probably given with the belief that that is what was going to happen. And I said, listen, man, just remember, if they agreed on this and they put that as that, this is what they're expecting. And then all of a sudden, last week we heard that someone said plan B would be to be able to go back to the White House and ask for help. I think that's always been in place. You know, and I think a lot of times politicians, everybody wants to one-up the next. And what's happening with the council right now, you have a chance to revitalize the area, build up something that's an eyesore right now, and you're arguing because you may not like the mayor for the most part. And I understand trying to go and fight for the best deal, but I ask one question. What damn deal you have right now? None, right? So if you are struggling and needing money, how do you completely try to stop the possibility of making money?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting to see, you know, like you're saying. I mean, it felt like this always could end up being the thing because you don't have everybody agree that they're going to give this land over. Which, remember, that almost felt like a Hail Mary, right? Where they stuck around after hours and brought this back up and got the vote approved. And so that felt like a Hail Mary. You don't get that sort of a thing to happen for then the D.C. council to kind of hold this up and make it not come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have that sort of a thing. And so I think part of them getting back involved if they need to is understanding that they had a plan for this place, and maybe they didn't necessarily write out the plan of what the stadium's going to look like and all the stuff
didn't write
around
it out,
there.
But I have to believe that somebody voiced something.
Yeah, they wanted the stadium.
I can't believe
there.
They did all that, worked it out, and nobody said anything. I guess just some people maybe thought that, oh, it's going to just not be like that this time.
Well, and I wonder, does this change any of the D.C. council members' minds that are against this? Does it change any that are undecided? Or
maybe,
is this,
maybe not. But
because is it a bad look to you if the federal government, President Trump, whoever has to step back in here and is like, hey, by the way, get this done. This is what we gave this to you for.
Is it a bad look? I would say, yeah. When you have something in front of you, and listen, people are going to tell me about how much money is, well, how much money it really is. Well, I know for the last 20, 30 years, nobody has invested in the property. No one. Now someone's trying to at least invest to put the centerpiece to begin to build stuff around it, and you're going to stop that. As I stated before, if you can't come and say, well, if that doesn't go, we have this in hand. If you don't have that, then what the hell are you stopping it for?
Yeah. If you don't have some sort of a plan, I know JP's kind of talked about, would it be like if someone else came up with something, whether it was like, A, you wanted a hospital or just throwing out different ideas, then maybe we could have that conversation. But you didn't get this land just by happenstance for you to then decide that you need something else. Like, mm-hmm. It was clearly given to you for the purpose of becoming
like
RFK Stadium.
It really, really seems that way. And I think at this point, when I heard that, someone had mentioned it to me yesterday, I was like, I've been expecting that for a long time. It didn't just come on my radar last week when there was an article written. This has been on my radar since the day that they gave it. And when you started reading the thing, number one stated stadium site. Once I saw that, I said, okay, it was not agreed upon for nothing else, but for that to be the first thing and then whatever else is going to follow it.
It's just, I think it would be a bad look for the D.C. council if you have this opportunity ahead of you and you can't come to a consensus on this. Because to your point, I understand trying to work out the deal, and I understand trying to find stuff and make sure that you get exactly what you're looking for, all those things. And everyone's going to have to compromise, right? There's going to have to be some understanding there. But what's going on there right now?
Yeah.
Nothing. Like, what's...
That's the question. What's
the better option for that place than revitalizing it with RFK 2.0? Like, mm-hmm. What is the other option? That no one's laid out another plan for the place. No one's laid out another... Because I think the mayor brought up a good point when she called into the station. I think it was probably a month and a half, 2 months ago on Grant and Danny, and was mm-hmm. saying that, you know, some of the council members have talked about other areas that have been revitalized and brought back to life. And she talked about the areas that they mentioned they had to invest money in to improve parks and build infrastructure and different things. And this is the same sort of thing, just on a larger scale.
Yeah.
No one goes down to that area, really. And so you're going to be able to revitalize that entire area with the RFK Stadium site. I think it'd be such a bad look for the DC Council if they're not able to get this thing figured out. And the people that granted you the land with the understanding that you'd get it through and work through the nitty-gritty details of this have to come back in and say, hey, get it figured out. This is why we gave it to you in the first place.
Yeah, I just think that to think that because someone is investing, they have to do everything and you do nothing, it's ridiculous. Because the infrastructure and all normally is done by the city or whatever. You want me to do everything? You know, I think it's a great chance. You know, that's a Hail Mary for sure. But intelligent people don't come in and put up everything and then you expect them to give you something. You know, if I'm going to put up the bulk, I want to get recouped. I want to recoup mine too. And if you put up some, you're going to recoup yours. How quick did this everything get recouped over here? You know what I mean? We're in the Navy Yard right now. Why? Because that stadium is there. We're not here because this building was here. We're here because the stadium was there first.
Yeah.
And I think that's the ultimate thing. But we'll see how it goes.
Well, and I think it just...
I'm just not shocked that this has come about.
At some point, you have to get to a point where you're actually making the decision on this thing. Because, you know, they want the stadium built by 2030. The World Cup coming in 2031. But I think for us here locally, obviously it means something in terms of being around it. But I think even nationally, it's just a bad look when your nation's capital doesn't have a viable stadium to host big-time events. Like, do you think there's any chance, B-Mitch, that they'd host a World Cup, which is coming here next year, by the way, too, with a men's World Cup as a part of the USA, Mexico, and Canada? You think there's any chance that England would host the World Cup and there's no game in London? You think that there's any chance that in Germany there's not a game in Berlin or France there's not a game in Paris?
See, the thing about it, when you watch the Olympics this year in Paris, wouldn't you believe that if they had a stadium in this city that you wouldn't have that here?
Yeah, I don't understand why, you know, it's a bad look for our country, frankly.
People don't think beyond right in front of them. A lot of times, like, it becomes like personal vendetta. I don't want you to get credit, so I'm gonna try and stop it. When ultimately, it's not about anybody getting credit. It's about how long can this, you think about stadiums being built, you're talking about 30, 40 years down the line, they still making money off of it. You know, you have to be able to look at that. And I understand everybody that tries to say, well, you don't live in D.C. I probably spend more money in D.C. than a lot of people spend. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of people that live here. I spent more money than them in this city. Let's be real.
So, it's true.
Whatever, man.
Netflix just dropped Quarterback Season 2. They've had one season of Quarterback. They've had a season of Receiver. And now Quarterback Season 2 coming out on Netflix. We'll talk about that. Also, Kirk Cousins saying he felt misled going to the Falcons when they drafted Michael Penix. We'll talk about that next year on The Fan. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. B. Mitch, we're down to 28 minutes. We're down under 300,000 people in
front
of me. My
question is, how are they moving 300,000 people that damn quick?
I have no idea.
So is it people all around the country who are just saying,
hey, let's try to get these tickets.
I have no idea.
Let's just mess with the all the Commander fans. Let's make them have to wait all day to get their tickets. We don't want one. But let's
I can tell you one thing. Santiago Bernabeu is a big stadium in Madrid. It doesn't hold 500,000 people. So I don't exactly know how any of this is working. But regardless, hopefully I can get some tickets. We'll keep you updated on that as we go along. There were some interesting comments that came out, I believe, over the weekend. I'm not sure where Cam Newton was. I think he was on some podcast. But
he and Wale. Well, it was Cam Newton's podcast.
Was it Cam's podcast?
And I think Wale was a guest on it.
So Cam was talking about Jaden Daniels, and here's what the former MVP had to say about Jaden.
Fear Jaden Daniels could be a potential one-hit wonder?
Nah.
What makes him different?
I think he loves the game too much.
But speak to me like from a D&B.
He loves the game too much. You know, you got people that don't love the game. Mm-hmm. They love what comes with the game. That boy loves the game. Like, he just loves the game. Like,
seen a lot of success as a rookie season.
I worry about that with our most like CJ struggled a little bit the second year, but the line was a little.
But you know. I'm gonna say it in this way: there's nobody who had the game in a chokehold like Robert Griffin III. but RG3, bro, I have to tip my hat to him.
One of the GOAT rookie seasons.
No,
time.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I see that same thing happening for Jaden, and as you know, being in that community. Do you fear that?
Well, now that I listen to this again, I still think he's a hater. But I think he was just trying to be an antagonist or more or less trying to be the devil's advocate. He wanted to just ask questions because the only comparisons in Jaden and RG3 to me is that, I'm going to give you some, these are the obvious. They were second picks. They won the Heisman. And they're black dual threat quarterbacks.
Yeah.
When it comes down to the preparation for the game, Jaden is in a different atmosphere than Robert was. When it comes to giving a hell about the game, Jaden is in a different atmosphere than Robert was. When it comes to liking the game for what it gives you and also loving the game as Wale was trying to state, Jaden loves the game. He could give a damn about the success that comes with it. He's the type of guy where I'll deal with that when I'm done with this game. When I'm done putting my mark on it, I'll deal with that. When you saw him get hit last year, and when people were complaining about him running it, the rest of the year he changed his game. He is a pocket passer, better than Cam, better than RG3. He can run. See, the thing of it is, Cam was this big, monstrous guy that thought he could run over everybody. That's why he got banged up. Just like Ben Roethlisberger got beat the hell up.
Mm-hmm.
Robert thought he was Cam Newton, and Ben Roethlisberger being a skinny guy. Jaden has realized, I don't need to get hit by those guys too many times. So I'm going to utilize my pocket presence, and I'm going to use my athleticism when I get a chance. But I now see Cam was trying to, you don't fear this? Yes, everybody fears it. And yes, there's a thing called sophomore slump. But you know what? If you just focus on the quarterback and nothing around the quarterback, you miss what the hell really happens. While they named C.J. Stroud, the offensive line was a little banged up. But his two best receivers were hurt. Stephon Diggs didn't play most of the year. And then what did the
Nico Collins.
Nico got hurt later. If you don't have your top receivers and you don't have protection, I don't give a damn who you are. You're going to take a step back. So the whole thing is there are people who've had success. Like when I get asked questions about return guys, I am happy to give credit to guys. I want those guys to go out and do things, break records. I don't give a damn. I broke people's record. But there are other guys who don't want their stuff to be touched. And I feel like Cam is that type of guy.
Yeah, maybe so, but I think when you look at it, I think Wale is basically laying out exactly why the guys are different in RG3 and Jaden Daniels, and you kind of just laid out exactly the difference there, that Jaden is a pocket passer, and he's underrated in that sense.
Yeah.
Like, that people just immediately think when you see guys who can run, because by the way, I think Lamar is a better passer than he gets credit for, but I think that Jaden's a better pure pocket passer than Lamar, right? And I think immediately when people see that a guy can run, they immediately think that's all they can do. And that's not the case. You know, maybe in the old
but
days.
See, I think it's because, and this is, listen, and I'm not trying to bring race, but it happens. The black quarterback that can run, oh, he's a running quarterback. Because Steve Young ran more than all these dudes. Steve Young was always running. Nobody cared about it, though. Because he could sit in that pocket and pick your ass apart.
Yeah.
Jaden could do the same thing.
Yeah, and I think you saw that last year, right?
Yeah.
As the season went on, he got more and more comfortable, and that's what I think is so unique about the way that he plays the game versus how Robert played the game. With Jaden, if you told him you cannot run, he could make it work.
Yeah.
Like, he could make it work.
Yeah.
If you told Robert that he couldn't run or he couldn't run the read option, he couldn't make it work. He could maybe find a way as time went on, but he would never get to the level of a pocket passer as Jaden already is.
Uh-huh.
And I think that Robert had a nice ability, and there were some extra stuff that if you were able to develop it, whether it was the mentality, whether it was the Shanahans, we can talk about all that. We don't need to rehash all those conversations. But Robert had immense ability, but it was not the level as it's in terms of a passer as Jaden is already. And I don't know that he was ever going to get there.
See, the thing is, when you just look at the personalities, okay? Robert came in with extreme athleticism. But he also came in with a manipulation gene. When he found out how he had Snyder in his pocket, he manipulated stuff to put himself in positions that he could be in. Jaden walked in this place, and guess what? He probably has that ability to have that manipulation gene too. But from the moment when every fan was pissed off because they hadn't named him the starter, he wasn't.
No, he didn't care.
He said, am I going, what? If they, when they make me the starter, am I not supposed to compete? He said, I'm going to compete every day. And since he's become the starter, he competes. He not only does stuff the coaches tell him on offense, he's talking to the defensive players and defensive coaches to find out what things am I doing that gives off hints to y'all, because he's trying to get his overall game better. I just see a different approach, and I believe this kid's mindset is different. One thing about athletics, I'm never going to say he won't get hurt. Nobody, everybody that plays pro football, kickers get hurt too.
Yeah.
Punters get hurt. You're going to get hurt at some point, but it's how you get hurt. Do you get hurt because of something stupid you're doing? Or you get hurt because it's just the rigors of the sport. He got hurt, rigors of the sport. The one thing I want everybody to understand, when he got hurt last year, he was in front of a guy. But he had heard so much about get down, get down, get down. If he had kept running like he's capable of doing, he wouldn't have got hurt in that play. But he went to slide, and the guy behind him fell on top of him and crunched him. Because when we say we don't hear, we do hear what people say. And you try to appease. After that, you weren't in that situation again. I just think that, you know, it's lazy. I don't care if you're a former athlete, an analyst, media guy, whoever. If you just say that those two guys are alike, and you don't have the true, if you don't really look at the ways that they are so far different, you're a lazy-ass reporter. You're a lazy-ass analyst. You're a lazy-ass former player. Point blank. You have to look at them. There are way more differences than likes when you look at those two guys.
Something that I think is interesting about Jaden, and I've heard some people talk about their quarterbacks when they're getting drafted and saying that they like them to come with some scuffs, right? Some experience, some guys that have had some hardships and had to come through them. I think you see that with Jaden. And I haven't had a chance to ask him. I'd be curious to get his thoughts. Would Jaden coming out of Arizona State be the same way that Jaden is coming out of LSU? And I don't know that it's the same, because I think that experience with the Sun Devils kind of taught him when he went to LSU that he has to go to that next level in terms of work ethic. He's got to take everything very seriously. Uh-huh. And so he's carried that approach and that care over to the National Football League, and I think that's worked out. Versus Robert, did he have that hardship at Baylor? No. Did he have that moment where it taught him, hey, man, you've got to be dialed in. You've got to give that extra bit. You've got to be coachable. And I don't know that he had that. So I think there's a big part of the difference is Jaden learned that. And if Jaden had come out of ASU and then had the similar sort of thing, maybe we're talking about this a little bit differently. Yeah. But he learned that in college, and now he's come over and carried that approach to the pros. And so I have every confidence, not just in Jaden Daniels' ability, because that's obvious, mm-hmm. but I have every confidence in Jaden Daniels' person.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that I know he's going to put every effort to get better every single offseason, and that's not something that you could necessarily always say about Robert.
When the opposition got tougher, he got better. And that is not just something that just happens. You got to have it inside of you, but also you have to work at it. When he went to the SEC, it was better than what the conference was, and he was at Arizona State.
Mm-hmm.
He had to be able to make decisions a lot quicker than he did at Arizona State. And he did. If you look at his last year at LSU, and it was the second year of the utilization of the virtual reality. And yes, a lot of people are doing it now. Just like a lot of people play video games. And what happens in that? Some guys good, some guys are instantly good. First time they play, they're great at it. Some guys get better and better. Some guys stay right where they were the first time they played it. I think he gets more out of that than even the other guys follow him. Tom Brady was not athletic, but Tom Brady knew what the defense was trying to do. And he got the ball out of his hands so damn quick that you couldn't do much against him. There are other people that study film like Tom. Did they see what Tom saw? So Jaden has an innate ability to do some things, but it's a sport where physicality makes a difference. And by him coming back and everybody say, oh, you look a little bigger. Well, if you come into the league and you're 22 and then you turn 23 and you start moving towards 24, you know what nature does? It makes you a little bigger. You start to look like a grown man instead of the guy in college who has lift weights to look like a man. You're now becoming a grown man. So you look bigger than what you are. And I think media guys, I get annoyed by it because, oh, wow, he came back way bigger. No, he just went through an NFL weightlifting program now. Mm-hmm. He's been doing it for a year. And it's also naturally that when you grow, you get bigger. How many people you know as they get a little older, they start getting skinnier or smaller? You know, you start getting a little bigger.
Yeah.
So it's a natural thing that happens. And also, he also probably put a little bit more work to allow himself to go through the rigors of it.
That's Brian Mitchell. I'm Toby Altizer. Barstool Nate joins the program coming up at 11.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.